is Masechta Yevamos Daf Pei Tes. We will begin on Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph at the end of the seventh line, Ein Lo Ksuba. As we had learned in the Mishnah, if a woman's husband had disappeared and one aide came and said that he was no longer alive, and based on that, Beis Din allowed her to marry another husband, and then the first husband does arrive. So the halacha was teitz mizeh mizeh. She may not be married to either of those two men. And the Mishnah continued telling us, ein la ksuba. She's not entitled to a ksuba, not from the first husband or from the second husband. Ask the Gemara, my time at the kinel, why? Says the Gemara, my time at the kinel or rabbanu ksuba. Why did Chazal legislate that a woman is deserving of a ksuba? As we've previously explained, Chazal were concerned that if someone were to get angry at his wife and be quick to divorce her, so to avoid that type of a situation, he has to pay a ksuba, which is a substantial amount of money, and that will prevent him from acting too quickly and too rashly. Here we want them to get divorced. So Chazal did not put in this impediment of a payment of a ksuba. And as Tosfos points out, in the text of a ksuba, it says, the chazil chay midaraisa, that the money that I'm paying you for a ksuba is something you're deserving of daraisa. From our Gemara, it seems that it's not midaraisa, it's only midrabbana. So Tosfos answers that our Gemara is referring to the ksuba of Almana, even though, as we mentioned, we will learn in the next Masechta Ksubas, there's a discussion, is the obligation to pay a ksuba midaraisa midrabbanan. Everyone agrees that the obligation to pay a ksuba to Almana, to a woman who's not a psul, is only midrabbanan, and that's the case that our Mishnah is referring to. Other Mefarshim I saw explain that when it says in the text of the ksuba, the chazal chav midaraisa, it doesn't mean that the ksuba is midaraisa. That the money, the currency that's used to pay the ksuba, is the raisa currency, not the rabbanan currency. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim, also point out that even though Al Gemara speaks about the ksuba, we know that in most ksubas, there's a Tosfos ksuba, that the husband on his own agrees to add more than the basis amount he's responsible to give an ksuba, but the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, explain that just like the ksuba is not to be paid under the circumstances we're discussing, the Tosfos ksuba is tied to the ksuba, and if the ksuba is not paid, neither is the Tosfos ksuba paid either. We learned in the Mishnah further that this woman is not entitled to Ein Lo Peiros, and there's a Machlokes Rishonim how to understand that. Either Peiros mean that the husband ate the profits of the Nechzei Melug while they were married, he doesn't have to pay back those payers. Another pshat is that Chazal required that the husband receive the payers and in exchange she would be ransomed if she's chas v'shalom captured. That doesn't apply to this woman. V'loi mezonos, she's not entitled to support. V'loi belos, the clothing that she brought into the marriage, when the marriage terminates, normally she has a right to take that clothing with her. Here, she doesn't have that right, because, says the Gemara, Tanai Ksuba, all of these are considered parts, stipulations, included in the Ksuba, and therefore they have the same halacha, Ksuba Dami, and we just finished explaining that this woman is not entitled to the Ksuba. The Mishnah further said, not l'mizeh mizeh, if she did take a ksuba payment, either from the first and or the second husband, she has to return it. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course she has to return it. Answers the Gemara, Madatayma, Kivan the Tafsa, since she took it without permission, if she did take it without permission, loy mafkinimena, we don't make her return it, kamash malan. And as the Aruch Haner explains the Gemara, he says, of course, she's not supposed to take it. Didn't the Mishnah just tell us, or we just finished explaining, that she's not entitled to the ksuba? So if she's not entitled to the ksuba, certainly she's not supposed to take it. Says the Gemara, what the Gemara is teaching us is as follows. We would think that the Mishnah is teaching us that she's not entitled to the ksuba. That's why we instruct her and instruct the husband that he's not entitled to the ksuba. But we would consider perhaps that if she did take the ksuba, we don't go that far in making her return it. Kamash v'lan, that what the Mishnah is teaching us is not only that she's not supposed to get the ksuba, but if she did take it, she must return it. Then the Mishnah said, Havlad Mamzer, that if she has a child, either from the second husband, or if she goes back to the first husband, the child is a Mamzer. And why the child is a Mamzer from the second husband is very obvious. She was really an Eishes Ish. Her husband was still alive. So therefore, the child born is a Mamzer. But what we need to understand, as we get into this Gemara, is why is the child from the first husband of Mamzer? She's really his wife. And a child born from a husband and wife is not a Mamzer. But really, what this Gemara is going to focus on, and we begin now a very, very fundamental sugya, Shas sugya, is the sugya, what is the power, what is the authority of the Chachamim? Do Chachamim have the ability to say that a woman who's really married to a man, and therefore the child is not a Mamzer, have a right to say, yes, no, we will consider this marriage not a marriage. We'll consider you like you're an Eishes Ish, living with a man who's not your husband, and the child will be a Mamzer. How far did the Koyach of the Chachamim, how far did the authority of the Chachamim go? And before we begin the sugya, it's worth speaking for a moment about from where did the power and the authority of the Chachamim in general emanate. The Rambam says that the Pasuk says, L'sosim adavar she'gidulcha Yomen u'smoil, we're not to go away from what the Chazal teach us to the right or to the left. That is the basis for the authority of all of the Gzeiros Chazal. The Ramban takes issue with what the Rambam says, because he says if the Rambam is correct, then there should never be a difference between a Darabonan and a Daraisa. Every blot of Shas, we try to analyze, is this a Darabonan, is this a Daraisa? If all the Rabbonans are based on a Pasuk of Leisosar, then all the Rabbonans become a Daraisa. So where's the difference between a Darabonan and a Daraisa? Therefore, the Ramban learns that that Pasuk is not referring to a situation where Chazal make a Gzeira. That Pasuk is referring, now we know that we really don't always understand what a Pasuk says. A Pasuk is explained by the Rabbonim. That's what we do in the Gemara. They use the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatayr in the Dreshes Behen. So what that Pasuk is teaching us is, the way Chachamim explain a Pasuk, that's the way we should follow it. In other words, we shouldn't follow it the way we think the Pasuk says, this is the mitzvah, this is the Aveira. Rather, it's the way Chazal explain that this is the mitzvah, or this is the Aveira, that we should understand what the Pasuk is teaching us. Regarding Gzeiros Darabonan, different decrees Darabonan made, the Ramban, this is the way most Mefarshim explained the Ramban, position is that we know that it's the Ratzon Hashem, it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that we should follow what Chacham say, whatever decree they make, or whatever rule they make, we should follow, but it's only going to be a Darabonon, not a Daraisa. So it's not based on the Pasuk, and therefore it's not a Daraisa. That's how the Ramban learns. But certainly, the Chachamim have a power to make Gzeiros, no matter how we learn, like the Rambam or the Ramban. There is a machloikis achroinim, how far this authority goes. Some achroinim learn that the authority of the Chacham to make gzeiros is all-encompassing. Wherever they see the need to make a gzeira, they have the right to make that gzeira. There are other achroinim that say that if the Torah says something is mutter, the Chacham cannot say it's osur. If the Torah doesn't comment on the subject, no, let's use muksa as an example. The Torah doesn't talk about muksa. So there, Chachamim have a right to say and decree there's a concept of muksa. But if the Torah were specifically to say that muksa is mutter to be moved on Shabbos, the Chachamim would not have the right to say that it's also to carry muksa. And there are Achronim that say that even if it's something the Torah tells us is permitted, Chachamim could still say is prohibited. Only if the Torah says something is a mitzvah. So the Torah tells us it's a mitzvah to do something. And the Chacham will say, don't do it, that they have no right. And as I said, there are some Achronim who say Chacham could do whatever they see fit. The question also, which really we'll discuss more tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, is how far does it go? For example, we know that Midday Raisa, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, we're supposed to blow the Shofar. If Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, we're supposed to take the Dalaminim. Why would we, Chacham say, we shouldn't blow the Shofar. We shouldn't take the Dalaminim. Gzeira Shem Yavarin Dalam Shushus Rabbim, we may come to carry it. So now the question is, if somebody did blow the Shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, did he do a mitzvah? The Rabbanan said not to do it, but still the mitzvah that the Torah gave us, we can't erase from the Torah. So he was Mekayim a mitzvah. That's how Rabbi Kivega learns, that's how the Avni Nezer learned. The Chelkus Yoyev disagrees. He holds that given the authority that Chazal got, it tells us, once they tell us that you're not supposed to blow the shofar from Rosh Hashanah, if somebody blew the shofar from Rosh Hashanah and it came on Shabbos, it would be like he blows the shofar for this coming Shabbos. If somebody blew the shofar for this coming Shabbos, it's certainly Chil Shabbos. That Shabbos is no different. After Chazal gave us the mitzvah, gave us the decree, don't blow the shofar for Rosh Hashanah, or don't take the Dalminim. What would be if somebody did take the Dalminim on Sukkot? Usually, that Shabbos. Usually the Dalminim would be probably Muksa. Is it considered that he picked up something muksa, or is it considered that he was mekayim mitzvah deraisa, and he was over what Chazal said? As I said, it's machlokes achroin. So our Mishnah said that the child, whether she has a child from the second husband or a child from the first husband, he's a mamzer. Tanan hosam. There's a Mishnah Masechta Trumos. Ein tamim min tamei el tahor. As we know, simple example. If somebody has a few barrels of apples that he has to take truma from, so he's not required to take truma from every barrel. The halacha is he could take all the truma from one barrel for all the barrels. However, says the Mishnah, ain't tamei min tamei latar. If one barrel of apples is tamei apples, and one barrel of apples is tar apples, he may not take from the apples that are tamei on behalf of the apples that are tar. Rashi says, because as we've learned, there's much less use for tamei truma. The only thing you could do with it is use it as fuel. Tar diga truma can be used to eat, whatever else. So we're not allowed to do that to the kayin, that we end up giving him a lot of tamei apples. What's he going to do with it? Very little use, just use it for fuel. Taisvis says, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Amud Beis, that loch is, the Mishnah says it in Masechta Trumos, ain't tamei min ha'ro'a la'yofa. We have better quality and inferior quality. We can't take all of the truma from the inferior quality on behalf of the better quality. Tamei and atar is the same situation. The tamei is inferior. It's raw versus the yafa, the good tar apples. Ain't tarim and atamei atar. Daloch is vim tarim. If one did do that, b'shagig, if he did it b'shagig, trumasa truma. It's effective. But we're trying to make a very interesting point. We know normally shagig can mean one of two things. Shagig can mean either I didn't realize what I was doing, or shagig can mean that I didn't know what I was doing was wrong. Example, carrying on Shabbos. Shagig can mean that I carried something I didn't realize I had something in my pocket, or shagig can mean I don't know what's also to carry. Here the Rishonim say that shagig means only that I did not realize that this barrel had tamei apples. And without that knowledge, that's why I accidentally took minatamei latar. But let's say we have a person that's not aware of the halacha that we just learned, that ain't tamei minatamei latar. He doesn't know that halacha. And that's why he did it. That's not called shagig. And the reason the achroidim give to understand what the rishonim say is, because as we explained, why is the halacha ain't tamei minatamei latar? Because we don't want that the kohen should suffer. So just because you didn't learn the halacha, you didn't come to the shir, and you didn't learn the halacha that ain't tamei min hatamei latar, why should this kohen suffer? And therefore, that's not called b'shagig. B'shagig trumasa truma. B'mezid. However, if he did it b'mezid, he took specifically min hatamei latar, le'osav le'klom. What he did is meaningless. So now we have a machloikus, a very fundamental machloikus, my le'osav le'klom. We said if he did it b'mezid, it's meaningless. What does that mean? And of course, the achroinim make a very interesting point. The Gemara, they say, says in many places around Shas, that taking truma is really a form of a neder. A neder means that I make a vow. But we know that the halacha is that a vow we could have annulled. So why, if I made this mistake, don't I just annul the nether and put it back and start from the beginning? So some Achronim say, Al Gemara is referring to a situation where I already gave it to the Kohen. I took it off the mezuzah and gave it to the Kohen. So it's no longer in my possession that I should be able to annul it and reverse the situation. According to those Achronim, if indeed I did not yet give it to the Kohen, the simplest and best Eitzah is just to be shoyl on the nether. Other Achroidim disagree, and they say that since it was done b'mezid, the halach is that if one wants to annul his nether, hafaras nedarim, he can't just say to the chacham, please annul my nether. He has to have a basis to what he does. So here, it's a situation where he has no valid excuse to what he's doing. He did it b'mezid. And that's why annulling the nether, hafaras nedarim, is not an option here. So now the Gemara asks, "My loyosav leklum." What does that mean? Amar Chizda, loyosav leklum. What he did is totally meaningless. The filu high gruya hadlativli. That means we had here a barrel of tamei apples, as we said. We had here a barrel of tar apples. We took out truma tamei apples. So if Chizda says, so these apples should be considered truma. Maybe you should have to do it over, but these apples I took out as truma. Says Rav Chizda, no, what he did is totally meaningless, and those apples are not truma. That's Rav Chizda's opinion. Rav Noson bar Yishai Omer, le'osav leklum, le'saken es ha'shrayim. What I did is not meaningless as far as that I have to redo it, and I have to take out truma from the tar apples. Av truma hava. But what I took out is truma. How can I change the facts? I took truma. Says the Gemara, isn't Rav Nosson bar Yishai right? I did take truma. How could we just ignore what happened? Says the Gemara, Rav Chizda loy omer k'Rav Nosson bar Yishai. Rav Chizda does not agree with Rav Nosson bar Yishai. The e amrit have a truma. If we're going to say what he did is acceptable, zimn da pasha v'loy mafrish. We're concerned. Let's review here with who we're talking about. We're talking about a person who's amazed. He knew this was tamei. He knew this was tar. He still deliberately went and took the tamei apples to be the truma for both barrels. Now if we're going to go tell the person, what you took is truma, but we want you to take more truma, the person will never accept it. So we have no option, says Rav Chizda, than to say what he did was meaningless, put the tamei apples back into the barrel, and start from scratch. Ask the Gemara, if this is true, why is this different from what we learned in the Mishnah? If atayim kishus, if somebody takes off cucumbers for truma, the nimtzamara. Again, we have a pile of cucumbers, and we're taking some cucumbers to be truma for the entire pile, and it turns out that the cucumber I took, or the cucumbers that were taken to be the truma, are spoiled, they're bitter. Aftiach v'nimtza seruach, or I have a bunch of melons, and I take some melons to be truma for the whole patch, and those melons turn out to be spoiled. So halacha is, truma v'yachs v'trim. What I did is truma, but I have to do it over. Now the question is, according to Rav Chizda, didn't Rav Chizda say that we could put it back and start from scratch? Why here does Rav Chizda say that what I did is done, just take truma again? Answers the Gemara, what's the question? Shoyi gamezet karamis? In this case, as Rishonim point out, the person did not deliberately take the bitter cucumbers or the spoiled melons. Because look at the lashon of the Mishnah. Hatorim kishus v'nimtzis moro. I didn't realize that it was bitter. That's why the halacha is, Rav Chizda will agree, that this person not doing anything deliberately wrong, will understand that he has to take truma again. Shogig le'avad isur, he didn't do anything deliberately wrong, and that's why we don't have any reason to believe that he won't, if Chazal tell him to take truma again, he'll take truma again. However, mezid ka'avad asura, this person knew what he was doing, that he was taking minatome alator, and he anyway did it. He's never going to agree to take truma again. That's why we say start from scratch. Ask the Gemara, so what are we explaining? That the case of atayim kishis v'nimtzis mora is a situation of a shoygig. asked the Gemara, but then we have a different question. V'ram is shagig a shagig. Then we have a contradiction what the halach and shagig is. Hachik tani, we began this piece of Gemara with saying that if somebody took b'shagig minatomei al atar, the halach is truma sa truma, what he did is effective. And hasam tani, and by the Mishnah of Kishis v'nim tzamara, we said truma v'yachs v'yitroi. Why? Why in this case of shagig do we say b'di'evet what he did is acceptable? Because he was a shagig. And here do we say that it's not acceptable. Yachs v'yitroim. Answers the Gemara. You can't compare the two shagigs. Hosam shagig karv l'mezit. In the case of kishois, v'nimtzus mora, aftiach v'nimtzus saruach, it's a situation that it's not a pure shagig. Diboyle l'mitame. Since these fruits, these vegetables, are very prone to spoilage, you can't say, I didn't realize that this melon that I took as truma was spoiled. You should have been concerned. And therefore, it's not considered a pure shagig, and that's why truma v'yachs v'yitrei. So in other words, according to Rav Chisda, we have a number of statuses. We have a status of pure shagig, der aloch is masha asa asa. Then we have a second status of karav l'mezit, the case of kishas v'nimtza mara, avtiach v'nimtza seruach, the der halach is truma v'yachs v'yitroim. And then we have a case of pure mezid, where there the halach is, you start from the beginning again. You put back what you took, and you start from the beginning. According to Rav Nosson Bar Vayishia, we have two categories. We have one category of a pure shagig, the der the halach is mash asasui, but the other what he did is fine. And in the case of both karv l'mezid, or real mezid, der the halach is truma v'yachs v'yitroim. What is the Eitzah that the Gemara gives by Aftiach or Kishis, a nice Taisvus, that you should know is it bitter or not? Taste it. The Taisvus adds a very interesting point. Taisvus doesn't mean just take this cucumber that you want to use as truma and taste it, and then if you see it's fine, it could be the truma for the whole patch, or the same with the melon. It says first take the cucumber that you want to use, and take off a little piece of it and make truma. And then taste the rest of the cucumber, which is no longer tevel, because you took off the truma. And if it tastes good, you could designate the rest of it as the truma for the rest of the pile. So the Achrayim say in Tosfos a very important halacha l'maisa. Many times we discuss that, let's say something is also to be eaten, or we don't know if it's also to be eaten, or it's a fast day. So we speak about ti'ima. That tasting something is not called achila, and it may be mutter. So why can't Tosfos say, taste it? Well, I'm only doing it to taste if it's bitter or not. So I should be allowed to taste it, even though it's tevel. Say that achroinim, from Tosfos we see that the only time we could rely on a heter that tasting is permitted is where we have no other option. But here we have another option. Take off a little piece and make a truma, and therefore I won't have to even taste tevel. Wherever we don't have to rely on the heter of ti'ima, we don't rely on the heter. And that's why the halacha here, Taisa says, is take this cucumber that I want to use as the truma for everything, take off a little piece, and therefore that cucumber is no longer tevel, taste it, and if it's good, then it could be the truma for everything else. V'rami asked the Gemara, we have a different contradiction. V'rami mezid ha-mezid, we have a contradiction in the halacha mezid. Hachik tani, in our Mishnah we're learning, b'mezit, if he deliberately took minatomei al atar, the halach is lo yasuklum, what he did is meaningless. Hasim tanan, there's another Mishnah Masechta Terumas. Many times in Shas, the Gemara discusses an otzitz nokov and an otzitz she'ena nokov. Otzitz nokov is a flower pot with a hole on the bottom, perforated flower pot, that the halacha considers what grows out of that flower pot as if it's growing out of the ground. And then we have otzitz she'ena nokov, a regular flower pot. That chazal do not consider as something growing out of the ground, and what grows from it is not considered the produce of the land. So the halacha is, produce that grows from otzitz nokov is chayiv to take off trumas ha-maisis midaraisa. Otzitz she'ena nokov is not obligated midaraisa. There's a halacha, we're not allowed to take minaptur for something that doesn't have a deraisa, the obligation, al-chiyuv, something that has an obligation. So says the Mishnah, Hatayr Mish Enanokov. If somebody took off truma from produce that grew in a non-perforated flower pot, Anokov, truma v'yachs v'yitren. It's effective, just you have to do it over. I, according to Rav Chisda said when something is done b'mezid, we start all over from the beginning, because we're concerned that the person is not going to be agreeable to take truma twice. Answers the Gemara's simple terrors. Here, it's betray money. Everybody recognizes the difference between an otz nokuf and an otz shereina nokuf. And that's why when we tell the person what you did is truma, but you have to do it again, tzayis, the person will listen to that decision. However, b'chadmona, here we're talking about two barrels of apples. They're identical. The only difference between the two barrels is one is tamei and one is tar. To tell the person that what you did is done, and now you have to do it again, that loy tzayis. Ask the Gemara, or Rav Nosson Bar Oishia said that if somebody took truma, the mezid, mena tamei al tar, masha osu osui, that is truma. The yachs of itrum, and then he takes truma again. Rav Oishia said, Om v'loy sakulum, the sak and shrayim, that the tar digger barrel has to be fixed. Avo truma have what I took still retains the status of truma. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Mahadutnan, why is this different from what we learned in the Mishnah also, in Masechta Trumas? Mina Nokov, here we have a situation where he took Mina Chiv, perforated flower pot, Al She'en Nokov, on the non-perforated flower pot. There Aloch is, truma soy truma, he has to take, the truma is effective, V'loy toichel, but he shouldn't eat it, ach yoytze le truma maisa mokamacher, until he takes off truma from another place, because you're not supposed to take menachiv alaptor. So here, the Mishnah tells us, you wait until everything is done properly. Rav Nosson Bar Oishia never told us over here we have to wait. Answers the Gemara, shani hocham, you can't compare the two situations. Dima deraisa, in our case, where we untook truma, minatomei alator, truma ma'ayasahi. What he did midarais is completely effective. Kid Rebeloi, Dom Rebeloi, Rebeloi says, minayin latomei tar minaroa la yofa. As we began this piece of Gemara, the loch is we're not supposed to take truma from raw, from inferior produce, on better produce. Where is the loch shumasa truma? If one did do it, it's effective. The ksiv, v'loy siso loy chet, you will not get a aveira berimchas chelbay for taking minaru ala yofa. V'loy siso loy chet berimchas chelbay menoy. V'mein a kaddish, but if what you did is ineffective, neschias chet lama. Why are we worried about getting an aveira? If what you did is meaningless. Mikan, l'tar minaru ala yofa, we see that if somebody does it, shetrumasa truma. Therefore, says Rav Nosson Bar Oishia, where somebody took menachiv al aptor, that the Torah doesn't consider effective. That's why Rav Nosson Bar Oishia says, the Mishnah Masechta Truma says, wait until you can do it properly, and then what is Truma? Is Truma what, and everything has to fall into order. In our case, midaraisa, what he did is perfectly fine. And therefore, the right away gets the status where he took menatomei as effective Truma, just Chazal made a din, because the person did the wrong thing of taking minatame alator, minaru ala yofa, that he should take again from the good pile, truma again, and make it do it right. Actually, there's a few points to be made. One point is, this Gemara that we just learned, this Mishnah Gemara, is actually the subject of a Gemara Masechta Temura. There's a very famous Gemara Masechta Temura that has repercussions for many areas in Shas. If the Torah tells us don't do something, Iovid Mahani, if you did it anyway, is it considered what you did effective, or Iovid Loi Mahani? Or is it considered what you did ineffective? Here we have, it seems, a proof that Kamils Domer Achmona Loi Savid Loi Mahani, that it doesn't work. Why? Because the Torah tells us here, specifically, that in this case, that even though you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you took Menaru Ala Yofa, it's effective. What does it come to prove? That everywhere else, where the Torah doesn't tell us that way, loy mahani, it's not effective. That's how will the man the Omer that says throughout the whole Torah, the halach is, kamos the Omer achmona loy savid, I ovid mahani, explain this pasuk? He explains it very nicely. The Torah tells us not to do it. But the halacha is that if you did it, it's effective. But if so, I would think that you don't even get an aveira. Because at the end of the day, it was effective. Teaches us the pasuk. Although it was effective, don't think you didn't do aveira. Nesias chet, there is an aveira. So now the question is like this. Tosfos brings down a machlokes rishonim. If somebody took menachiyav al haptor, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechtah Tumura, and Masechtah Tumrumais, you have to do it over again. Ask Tosfos, that means that the first pile you took will be Truma, and then you do it again. What will be the status of the first pile? Some Rishonim say that it has the full status of Truma, and you have to give it to the Kohen. Others say it doesn't have the full status of Truma, because why would you have to give Truma from the same barrel twice? The first pile I took as Truma has to be treated that I can only sell it to the Kohen. It has to be eaten, the Kedusha's Truma, but I don't have to actually give it to the Kohen like you give Truma to the Kohen, because there is no reason to give Kohen two Nesinois, two portions of Truma from one barrel. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rava Rav Chisda. Says Rav Chisda to Rava. Lididach, Damrit Lai Asav Lai Klum Kol Iker. Again, let's review the situation. We have a pile of a tamei barrel. We have a tar barrel. If somebody bemazed it, the Mishnah says, there's no machlokes on this, took truma from the tamei barrel on behalf of the tar barrel, the Mishnah uses the words la'osav le'klum. Rav Chisda's understanding of la'osav le'klum means that you take this truma and you put it back into the barrel. So let's understand this. This pile that I took out as truma is really truma. But the rice of what I did is perfectly fine. So how could the Rabbanan tell us that food that's truma, that we learned and will learn, that a zor who eats truma is a big avera? Chiv misa b'day shemayim. Go and treat it like it's nothing. As if I did nothing. How could Chazal say this? Amlei Rav Rav Chisda. This bunch that I took as truma, the aloch is, I throw back into the barrel and it's considered tevel. My tama, why do Rav Chisda explain the Mishnah in that way? Because if I won't tell him to do this, nobody's going to be agreeable to take truma twice. Ask the Gemara. Ask Rav Rav Chisda, Mi ikamidi, can we have a circumstance? Did Midaraisa have a truma? As we just explained, Midaraisa, what I did is a full-fledged tafroshes truma. And because, Mishum Dima Pash, because Chazal had this concern that the person will not be agreeable to take truma second time. Afgu Rabbanan l'chulin, can Rabbanan go say something which Midaraisa is truma, should be treated as chulin? V'chibez din mastin laka dovim in a Torah? The Chacham have this strong authority that they could take food, which is Midaraisa Truma, and consider it Chulin? Amalei, Vat Lo Tisbara, don't you agree to that? Let's go to our Mishnah. Vatanan, Havlad Mamza Mizah Mizah. This woman who got married on the basis of an Eid Echad to the second husband, and then the first husband comes, the Halach is, the children she had from the second husband are Mamzerim, and the children that she has from the first husband after he comes back are Mamzerim. Bishloim Mesheni Mamzer, I can understand full well why the children from the second husband are Mamzerim. She was an Eishes Ish to live with a man. El Marisha Namai, why are the children from the first husband Mamzerim? Ishtahi, she's really his wife. And the children are Yisrael Malia, the full-fledged Yisraelim. By Chazal calling them Mamzerim, it's not just a Chumrah, it's a Kula. Because Kasharina Leba Mamzeris, as we have learned many times, a Yisrael is not allowed to marry, a full-fledged Ben Yisrael, or Bas Yisrael, is not allowed to marry a Mamzer. So let's think about this. The children from the first husband, Midarais are fine. Midarabodan go, gave him a label Mamzerim. Who did Mamzerim marry? Other Mamzerim. How can we have a person that Midaraisa is a Yisrael marry a Mamzer? How can we have a person that Midaraisa is a kosher Jew marry a Mamzer? Amalei, Hochram Shmuel, Shmuel says, not when the Mishnah says that the children of the first husband are considered mamzerim, it's not to say that they're allowed to marry other mamzerim. Also mamzerim. They're not allowed to marry mamzerim. The kenki also rov and amrab yoichron, also mamzerim. Ask the Gemara, if they're not allowed to marry mamzerim, so what's pshat that they're labeled mamzerim? By my korole mamzer, why are we labeling them a mamzer? Says the Gemara, la'osar abas Yisrael. They're being labeled mamzerim only to the extent that they can't marry a kosher Jew. So according to this understanding, they're, as we say in Yiddish, nishtahin, nishtahin. They can't marry mamzerim because they're considered Yisraelim, midaraisa the Yisraelim ksheirim. They can't marry Yisraelim because midrabbanan, they're mamzerim. And that's why they probably only can marry someone of their own type, which is highly unlikely to find. Says the Gemara. Why are we saying this? Because the Gemara at this point cannot believe that the Rabbanan have the ability of taking a person whom the Raisa is a kosher Jew and considering him a mamzer. Ask the Gemara. Sholchei Rav Chisda l'Rava b'yad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Is it aim Bezdin masnin laka davar man haTorah? Do Bezdin not have the right to do this? V'tanya. We learned in the Braisa. Just a word of introduction before we begin the Braisa. The halacha is, midoraisa, a father has the right to marry off his daughter, who's a ketana. And when the father marries off his daughter, who's a ketana, it's a full-fledged kedushin v'nesuin midoraisa. Midrabana, but that's only the right that a father has. Let's say a girl's an orphan, she has no father. So the Rabbanon gave the right to the mother and the brothers to marry her off. But that's only Kedusha the Rabbanon, because the Torah did not give that power to mother and brothers. Therefore, that Kedusha is only Kedusha the Rabbanon. And as we have learned previously, that Kedusha could be annulled. As long as she's a Ketana, she could do Miyun. If she doesn't annul it, as we'll learn, then the Kedusha becomes effective Midoraisa. So now we have this girl who married this husband only with a Kedusha the Rabbanon. Let's think it through. If she dies, who is her Midoraisa, her Yairish? Her family, because her husband's not really a husband. Yet we're going to learn in the Braisa that her husband is the one that Yarshins her. So what do we see? That the Rabbanon have a right to change things. That the Rabbanon have a right to say that this girl is really supposed to be inherited by her family, and her husband's going to inherit her. The Achrayim also say, and we've discussed this previously, there is even a situation where a girl can have a father and still only have Kedusha Drabbanan. What is the case? Let's say the girl was married off by a father. As we said, it's Kedusha Daraisa. Then she divorces that husband. She's still a Ketana. Her husband divorces her. The halacha is that the father only has one chance. He could only marry off once. Now that she was married and divorced, the second marriage will only be a Kedusha Drabbanan. That's what's called a Yisoyma B'chaya Av. Even though she still has a father, she has the same din as a Yisoyma. So we learned in a Braisa. Me'emesai Adam Yorish is a Shtiktana. For when can a husband inherit the property of his wife as a Ketana? B'shamar M'shatamit Kamosa. Mechlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says B'shatamit Kamosa once she becomes a Gedoyla. And Tosfos learns B'shatamit Kamosa is once she looks like a Gedoyla. Once she has a chuppah, she's considered a full-fledged wife. After there's relations between the husband and her. And the Gemara is going to explain this in a moment. At that point, the husband becomes her heir, and when she dies, the husband, even if he's a kohen, becomes tamei to her. And the husband, she could eat truma if the husband is a kohen. Now, explains the Gemara the Braisa. B'shama Imrim, Mishatame B'kamosa, Afgav D'loinus L'chuppa. As soon as she looks like an adult, or she is an adult, even though she didn't have a chuppa. Ask the Gemara, just because she looks like an adult, that's enough? Answers the Gemara, Eima, Mishatame B'kamosa, she has two qualifications. She is an adult, V'tikonus L'chuppa, and she had chuppa. V'ach Kamul B'shama L'Beisil. B'shama Yisei to B'Beisil the following. The Kamriso, you hold Mishitikanis l'chuppah. As soon as she comes into the chuppah, she's considered his full-fledged wife. I disagree. I am the bekamasa. If she had chuppah, plus the fact she's an adult, that's when mahani loy chuppah. The loy, but in the absence, if she just had chuppah, loy mahani loy chuppah. The chuppah will not be effective. And Tosfos says that it doesn't make a difference what came first. That she looks like an adult and then the chuppah happened, or the chuppah and then she looks like an adult. The bottom line is you have to have, according to Beis Shammai, both of these criteria met. According to Beis Hillel, one criteria of chuppah alone is enough. Because chuppah is what makes the marriage. It's interesting to note that many Rishonim explain that according to Beis Shammai, once there's an nisuin, which is chuppah, miyun is never on the table. It's never relevant. And Beis Shammai's statement here is only according to Beis Hillel. You, Beis Hillel, who hold that there is miyun possible even after chuppah, should agree that she only becomes his full-fledged wife after there is chuppah and tamid kamasa. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Mishtabal. She has to have biyah. Ask the Gemara, Vam Rabbi Eliezer, Eimasik tani klum. So just because this husband had biyah with her, is that enough? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Rabbi Eliezer means to say, B'shek tagdav v'tibol, that she has to be a gdoila and had biya, and according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, the biya took place afterwards. That there was one maisa biya, or at least they were in the home together, after she became a gdoila. But let's analyze, as we said. Ketanim miyis yarsha. At that point, he's considered her husband, that he inherits her. Ask the Gemara. For hachad midaraisa avi yarsla. Midaraisa, she's not married to this man. So her, if she dies, her inheritance should go to her family. The husband yarshens her. How could that be? So we see that that's the power of the Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, that's no raya. Because here it goes with a different concept altogether, a concept that we find many times in Shas. Hefker beznar yehefker. Chazal have a right to do with people's money as they see fit. So even though this money, this inheritance, really ought to go to a father's family, will go to a husband. Dom Rav Yitzchak, Menayin Shefka Beznar Yehefka. How do we know that Bezdan has the right to do that? Shenemar, Ezra said, whoever doesn't come up to Eretz Yisrael, the Koshla Yovel Shloisha Sheyomim, Batzis Hasarim Vezakenim, won't come within 3 days, Yochrim Karuchushai, all of his property will be confiscated, Vuhu Yibodil Mikola Goyla. So we see that he has the ability, Bezdan has the ability to confiscate property. Rav Lozom Mahacha, Ela Necholos, Ashenachlu Alozer Akoyin, V'Yishubanun, V'Roshia Ovis L'Matav Yisrael. This is when Eretz Yisrael was divided up. So the question is, V'Chima Inyan Roshim Eretz Lovis. The Pasuk speaks about the leaders of Klal Yisrael and the fathers of Klal Yisrael. Eloi Melech to teach us, Ma Ovis Mechilim B'Neim Koma Shiyirtzu. A father could do with his inheritance as he sees fit. Af Roshim Mechilim Es'am Koma Shiyirtzu. So they have a right to divide up. The Bezdan has a right to confiscate property. The Mefarshim make a very important point. What is Rabbi Eliezer bringing from the second pasuk more than was brought from Yitzchak's original pasuk? There's a lot of pshatim in that, but there's one very important point. In Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk, the property was confiscated. And Rabbi Eliezer wasn't just confiscated. It was taken from one and given to another. So the issue is, how powerful is Hefker Bezdan Hefker? Rabbi Yitzchak has that Hefker Bezdan Hefker is only something that Bezdan can confiscate. Rabbi Lazar goes further, Bezdan can confiscate from one and give to another. Others explain the differences that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, any Bezdan, according to Rabbi Lazar, any Bezdan could do it, because he said that was, any Bezdan has the right. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, perhaps only a great Bezdan with the ability, like Rabbi Lazar, of Ezra, who was the great leader of Klal Yisrael, could employ Hefker Bezdan Hefker. Not everyone else can. Continues the Gemara, Umetamala. If the husband's a Kayin, even though the Kedush is only Kedush Drabonim, he's allowed to become Tomei. Ask the Gemara. For Hahacha, let's analyze the situation. The Midaraisa of Yimidhamala. Midaraisa, our father should be Tomei to her. She's an unmarried girl. Umidrabonim Metamala Baal. How can we have a Kayin become Tomei to a woman who's not really his wife? Answers the Gemara. The reason he's allowed to become Tomei is Kunshtahavale Meis Mitzvah. She's considered like a Meis Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, is she a meis mitzvah? Umi have a meis mitzvah? But Tanya, the Braisa says, Ezu meis mitzvah, kosh en loy kovrim, whoever doesn't have somebody to bury her, to bury the corpse, kair v'cherim einar oisai, machlekes, what does that mean? Some explain, some Rishonim say kair means that if the dead person were alive, and he was sitting here, he would call, nobody would answer him. Others say kair means the person that found him calls out that nobody else is there to help him. But if somebody is there, he's not going to become tameh. Ein zeh meis mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, kim de lo yasalo, kar v'lo yanalo. The Gemara tells us human nature. The husband is her, as we just finished explaining, her yoyrish. So he's going to get all of her money. So people think to themselves, he's going to take the inheritance and we'll bury her? So nobody else is going to deal with her. That's why she's considered like a meis mitzvah. And Rishonim say, gaval de gavart. So good. The family, her family is not going to want to be metapel with her, because they said, we're not getting the inheritance, we're not going to be metapel with her. But why should her husband, the kohen, be metapel with her? Why doesn't he just hire Yisraelim? From here we see that a meis mitzvah doesn't require, if a kohen finds a meis mitzvah, if he could perhaps pay to have somebody take care of the corpse, that doesn't mean that the person is not a meis mitzvah. The Torah doesn't obligate you to spend the money. Torah says, if somebody else can take care of it, fine. If it'll cost you money, you, the kohen, may deal with it. The chels begin at truma. Again, how could she eat truma? It's only, she's not really his wife. Answers the Gemara, we're referring to truma de Rabbanon, that's why she's allowed to eat it. If it was truma de Raisa, since she's not his wife really, she is not entitled to truma.